Hi, I'm Pastor Duell of Heart City Church. We've been considering the Apostle James' letter to the first century church. And while the first century church had some problems which may not be issues that concern the church today, there is one problem addressed in James 3 that shows we are more alike than we are different. The first century church had a tongue problem. Let me read in its entirety what perhaps is the most popular message in the Bible about the most powerful muscle in the body. James writes, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." When I was young, I would sometimes stick out my tongue at my sisters, and if they didn't respond in kind, they would run and tattle on me, and I might get in trouble. So why did sticking my tongue out get them all riled up? And why was it seen as wrong? My mom would say, "It was rude. The tongue is ugly." Actually, this was confirmed when I read an article about why so many folks today stick out their tongues in selfies. You see, sticking out the tongue is a way of covering up insecurities about our looks. Folks expect you to smile and pose to display your beauty in a picture. But if that makes you uncomfortable, you simply stick out your tongue in irony so as to look ugly intentionally. The tongue is an ugly body part, and James would agree. James tells us it is a world of unrighteousness. James says it's set on fire by hell. You and I, we could label our tongues as highly flammable, and if they're not contained, they can, as James puts it, start a forest fire, except it's people who get burned. The only thing is, James here does not give us Smokey the Bear's advice, saying, "Only you can prevent forest fires." No, James says, no one can tame the tongue. And we saw yesterday this was a huge problem for those who were professing faith in God. James said, Christians, they'll bless God with their mouths on Sunday, but then they walk out on a Monday cursing what God has made, particularly people who God made in His image. Do you think this is a problem in our day? As many Christians look around and see our society losing its moral footings, they feel we have a legitimate right to gripe about, and yes, even curse unbelievers who live different lifestyles, as though they knew how to live any differently. And James says we ought to know better. Listen again to verses 10 through 12. "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." These illustrations are crystal clear as the point James is making. A spring is either a saltwater spring or a freshwater spring. Fig trees don't bear olives, they bear figs. Same is true of grapevines. Everything in nature is consistent. James doesn't have to quote scripture here. He says, you understand the laws of nature. Some things everyone knows ought not to be. Yet sadly, some Christians don't even blink that our tongue is like a tree that bears oranges one day and bananas the next. This is a glaring inconsistency. And here's what James is trying to push us to see. The tongue reveals more about us than we would care to admit. James' half-brother Jesus said, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Luke 6:45. The words our tongues form reveal what is inside, no matter how much we want to deny it. Have you ever heard a celebrity or someone, after saying something really bad, they'll say, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that. That was out of character for me." Jesus says that is who they are, and what they really meant to say was, "I really did mean what I said. I just didn't want you to know what I was truly thinking." Friend, you and I have a problem. Our hearts are desperately sick, Jeremiah 17:9, and our tongues reveal it to be so. But the good news is that when you can admit the bad news to God and ask Him for help, He is willing and able to give you a new heart and to bring that work begun in you to completion. Why? Because as James told us in chapter 1, He is a Father who gives good gifts, including your new life. James said, at the moment we first believe, we are born of our Father's word of truth, His word of truth. And when we realize that we are now His beloved children, we will by nature want to live pleasing lives, resembling our Father, speaking words of truth and love to others. My friend, remember who you are and who you belong to.